Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf, and we are two lines from the bottom of daf Tzadik Tes Amid Beis Amar Rava. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Zara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Yitzchok Elio ben Chaya Sara, Avram Kaddish ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekasil ben Gittel, Rafal Chaim Shayoshov ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Yehuda Leib Chizkio ben Basya, Chaim ben Yama Mordechai ben Ida, Chizki Yishloim Ziskin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, Yael Bas Bela, Michal Shoshana Bas Tova Hadasa, Yechiel Yosef, and today's staff is also being learned, Le'ilui Nishmas, Yechiel Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalel, Shloim Ezeb ben Avram Yitzchak, Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Al-Chanan, and Baruch Tzvi ben Ephraim Zalman Halevi. So the Gemara is continuing in the Lomdeshe Sugyas in Perek HaZorek, discussing some of the nuts and bolts of the laws of Haitzah. So we know that the 39th of the Lamites Melachos is the Melacha of Haitzah. Haitzah means that one is not allowed to carry Mirshus HaYachid Lirshus HaRabim, Mirshus HaRabim Lirshus HaYachid, or Dalet Amos Pirshus HaRabim. The more technical definition of Haitzah states that one is not allowed to do an Akira in one Rishus and then do a Hanacha in another Rishus. Meaning, if somebody would carry Mirshus Lirshus, but he wouldn't physically pick up the item he's carrying in one rishos and put it down in another rishos, he wouldn't violate the melacha of Haitzah. Additionally, although the prototypical way for a person to carry is to physically carry something, and that is the av melacha of Haitzah, there are, however, many toldos of Haitzah. So, for example, if somebody would throw something, mershos lershos, that too would constitute Haitzah. If somebody would hand something over to somebody else, mershos lershos, that too would constitute Haitzah. Regardless, on that note, the Gemara is going to get into a lot of important halachas as it relates to Haitzah. Amar Rav, Pshitali, it's Pasha to me, mayim al gabi mayim haynu hanochasam. If somebody picks up water in one rishos and then he carries it to another rishos, the halacha is that he would violate the melacha of haitzah. And the reason is because if you pick up water from within a body of water, it's considered an akira, because when water is sitting in a body of water, it's in a state of hanacha. That's the flip side of the same coin. So when water is resting in a body of water, it's in a state of hanacha. Thus, when you lift it up, it's considered an akira. If you would now carry it mershus l'shus, or take a dalet amos mershus harabim, the halacha is you'd violate the melacha of haitzah. Egos l'gabi mayim. If, however, there was an egos, a nut that was floating on top of water, you picked it up, and then you carried it mershus l'shus. Lav haidu hanachasin. Rava said that's pasha to me as well. You wouldn't violate the melacha of Haitzah, because when a nut is floating on top of water, it's not in a state of hanacha. If it's not in a state of hanacha, when you pick it up, you didn't do an akira. If you didn't do an akira, so you wouldn't violate the melacha of Haitzah. So Rav said those two things are obvious to me. If you take water from within a body of water, carry it mirshus lirshus, that's for sure an akira, as far as Haitzah goes. If you take a nut that's floating on top of water and you carry it mirshos lishos, that's for sure not an akira, and you certainly would not violate the melacha v'etzah. Boy, Rav said, this is something I'm not sure about. Ego is bekli tzavakabi mayamau. What would be if you have a nut that was inside a keli and the keli was floating on top of water? You picked up the egois and you moved it mirshos lishos. What's the shayla? Mi amrina, do you say basa egois lishlina v'hanayich? Do you say at the end of the day, I carried the nut? The nut was in a state of anacha because the nut was sitting in a keli. The keli was floating on top of water, but the nut was in a classic state of anacha inside the keli. If that's the case, it should be an akira. You should violate the melacha v'etzah. Eidoma, perhaps no. Basa kli azlina v'haloi nayach. The nut is in the kli, but you only can appreciate the status of the nut within the kli if you look at the broader context, which is that the kli itself is floating on top of water. So if the kli is not in a state of anacha, how could the nut that's inside the kli be a state of anacha? So Rava said, that's what I'm not sure about. I know if I remove water from a body of water, that's an akir. If I take a nut that's floating on top of water, that's not an akir. But what if I take a nut that's inside a keli where the keli itself is floating on top of the water? Do you look at the relationship between the nut and the kli, or do you have to look at the broader context, which is that the kli itself is floating on top of water? The Gemara says, "Teku tishbi yitaritz kushias vahavaya shemen al gabi yayin." What would be if someone had oil that was floating on top of wine? He then picked up the oil that was on top of the wine. So oil and wine don't mix so well. So if you're able to remove, shave off the oil, and then he carried it mirshus l'rishos. So the question is, would he violate the malach of Eitzah? Would he not violate the malach of Eitzah? So the Gemara says, machloikis Rabbi Yochanan Nuri ben Rabbanan. This is telling the machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbanan. The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, and this is a Mishnah mesechtes tful yot. Shemesh atzof agavi yayin. If you have oil that's floating on top of wine, the exact context of that Mishnah was where the oil and the wine were both truma, but that's not so important. In your name of an agat tful yayin b'shemen, and then the tful yayin who's Tame touched the shemen, loy pasal elo shemen. Only the shemen becomes tame, but the wine that the shemen is floating on top will not become tame. Rabbi Yechem and Uri, Rabbi Yechem and Uri, sesh neim chibur lezeh. That the oil and the wine are viewed as one, and as a result, if the tful yoim was metame the shemen, even though he never touched the wine, but the shemen and the wine are considered to be attached, they're considered one. So if he was metame the shemen, then by definition, he was metame the wine as well. Bottom line is, we have a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Uri and the Rabbanon, as it relates to Hilchis Tumah, specifically a tful yoim that touched shemen and yayim, where the shemen that's floating on top of wine, do we look at them as one entity? That's the way Rabbi Yochanan and Uri looked at it. Rabbi Yochanan and Uri said, if the tful yoim was metame the shemen, then the wine's going to be tame as well. It's chibur. It's looked at as one item. The Rabbanon said, no, I look at them as two separate things. I look at it as oil floating on top of wine. It's not the same thing. One is on top of the other. One is on top of the other. Just because full yayin touched the shemen doesn't mean that the wine is going to be tamei. So says the Gemara, l'chura it chapen afgamina in Hilchos Shabbos as well. So if somebody removed the shemen from on top of the wine, is that considered an akira? So that if he does a hanacha, mirshos l'shos, he's going to violate the malacha v'itzah or not. So the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that we look at the shemen and the wine as being one, so that's like removing water from within a body of water. What did Rava say about that? Pshitali, mayim al gabi mayim, haynu hanachasan, you're going to be chayev. What's the difference if I take a little bit of water from a body of water, or if I remove shemen from a body of wine that it's considered one with? If, however, according to the Rabbanan, however, that look at the shemen and the wine as independent entities, so then essentially the shemen is floating on top of the wine. Shemen on top of wine is lav hainu hanochason. That's like an ego is al gabi maya, because water doesn't sit put, and as a result, being that it's in a state of motion, so anything that's on top of it is not considered to be in a state of anocha. So just like the ego is on top of the mayim wasn't in a state of anocha, the shemen on top of the yayin is also not going to be in a state of anocha. That's the case. If somebody moves it, the halach is that he's going to be potter. So bottom line is, as it relates to shemen shetzof al gabi yayin, that's a machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chachamim. So regardless, just to recap this first part of the daf, we have a discussion about if somebody removes item A from on top of item B, is it considered an Akira? Is it not considered an Akira? Meaning, does it meet the technical criteria of Akira, so that if this item would now be moved from Rishus L'Rishus, you'd violate the Malach of Eitzah of not, or not? So there were some cases that the Gemara held with Pshita. Then there was a case where the Gemara said Teiku, and then there was a case where the Gemara said it's Tolina Machloikis, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rabbanan. If somebody removes water from within a larger body of water, Pshita, it's an Akira. If somebody removes a nut that's floating on top of water, Pshita, then it's not an Akira. If somebody would remove a nut that's inside a keli that's floating on top of water, for that we're going to have to wait for Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi. If somebody would remove oil that's on top of wine, that's talking about machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Chacham. Another halacha. Amar Abaye. Abaye said, Bar b'shus harabim mukasar ruchav shmoina. If someone has a bar b'shus harabim, it was 10 tvachim deep and it was 8 tvachim wide. V'sarach l'soicha machzeles. And somebody throws a machzeles. You throw a mat of reeds inside. Chayev. Talach is, you're going to be chayev. Why are you chayev? Because if you're standing in a Rishus HaRabim and you throw something into a pit that's 10 tfachim deep and 8 tfachim wide, that pit has a din of a Rishus HaYachid. So if it has a din of a Rishus HaYachid, of course you're going to be chayev. What are the dimensions necessary in order to meet the criteria of a Rishus HaYachid? It has to be a place that has mechitzos that are 10 tfachim tall, and it has to be at least 4 tfachim by 4 tfachim. Now, it doesn't matter if this area is above ground or if it's below ground. It could be a rock. It could be a mound. The point is that anytime we have mechitzos that are 10 tfachim tall, and you have a space that's dalet tfachim by dalet tfachim, the halacha is, it's considered Rishus HaYachid. So here you had a bar that was 10 tfachim deep. It was 8 tfachim wide. So certainly it's a Rishus HaYachid. If you would throw this machzelas in from a Rosh Hashanah into it, even if it didn't travel Dalet Amos, you would be chayv. Chilka b'machzelas potter. Abaye said another halacha. And this is already a point that the Gemara is going to harp on. And that is, what if somebody would take a machzelas, not throw it into the bar, but place it into the bar so that he now divided the bar into two halves. So you took a bar that was 8 tefachim wide, you stuck a machzelas in. Let's say the machzelas was a 2 tefachim wide, and you now divided the bar into two sections. Each section has mechitzas that are 10 tefachim, but each section is now only 3 tefachim. So Abaye said, in this case, you're going to be potter. Why are you going to be potter in this case? Because even though when you put the machzelas inside, the machzelas was a reshus hayachid, but the moment the machzelas touched ground, it destroyed the status of the bar as being a reshus hayachid. Because it took the one bar and it made it into two bayrois, where each one of these bayrois are less than 4 tefachim. Because if it was exactly 8 tefachim and you put a machzelas in between them, by definition, the two sides are going to be less than 4 tefachim. So it comes out that the bar is less than 4 tefachim. If it's less than 4 tefachim, each one of these halves is not going to be a Rosh Hashayachid. It's not going to be a Rosh Hashayachid, even though when it started off it was a Rosh Hashayachid, but now it's not a Rosh Hashayachid anymore. The truth is, Abaye is saying a Chiddush. Because Abaye is saying that if you do Haitzah, Mirshos L'shos, where when you put the item into the Rishos, it was considered Haitzah. But the moment after the item landed in the Rishos, it wasn't considered Haitzah Mirshos L'shos anymore. Meaning, you put something into from a Rishos Rabbi to Rishos Hayachid. But the moment the thing was placed into Rishos Hayachid, the thing wasn't Rishos Hayachid anymore. Abaye said, it's Pasha to me that you're going to be Potter. If you recall earlier in the Perek, the Gemara discussed this. On Daf Tzadik Tesam and Beis, the Gemara brought a similar Shaila from Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Rabbi Yochanan's Shaila wasn't the same Shaila, but it was a similar Shaila. Someone has a bar that's 10 Tefachim deep, and he took a little bit of sand from Rishos Rabbim and he put it into the bar. So the Shaila is, are you going to be Chai or are you going to be Potter? What was the Shaila? Right now, it's a Rosh Hashayachid. So you carried from Rosh Hashayachid to Rosh Hashayachid. But the moment the sand landed inside the bar, it's not a Rosh Hashayachid anymore. Because now it's less than 10 tefachim deep. If it's less than 10 tefachim deep, it's not a Rosh Hashayachid. And Rabbi Yochanan wasn't sure about that. So the Gemara says, what Rabbi Yochanan wasn't sure about, Abaye seemed to be sure about. But the truth is, it's even more than that. Because the case that Rabbi Yochanan discussed and Abaye discussed were not the same case. Rabbi Yochanan was discussing, were you a mevatel the Rosh Hashayachid by adding a tefach, for example, of sand into a pit. Abaye was discussing a case where you mevatel the Rosh Hashayachid by making it less than dalet tefachim wide by putting a mechitza, a machatzelas, just like some sort of a mechitza made of reed. So the Gemara says like this, La Abaye, the pshita lay the machatzelas mevatel mechitza, going to Abaye that it was pasha, that even though that you're going to be potter, even though at the time that you put the item from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashayachid, it was considered Eitzah. But Boyin Ke'echad, you will mevatel the status of the Rosh Hashayachid, it's going to be potter. And what was his case? His case was where it was a machzeles, so Koshken Chuyu the mevatel Mechitzah. Then certainly Rabbi Yochanan's case, when you put sand into the Rosh Hashayachid and you mevatel the status of the Rosh Hashayachid, you're going to be potter. If Abaye felt this way regarding a machzeles, certainly he would have felt that way regarding sand. Why? Because when you put sand into a pit, the sand becomes part of the pit. When you put a mechitza into a pit, it doesn't really become part of the pit. So Madach Rabbaya held that the machzelis has an ability to mevatel the status of Rishos Hayachid. Certainly, if you put choyl, sand, which lives, its natural habitat is this bar, then certainly in that case, it's going to be mevatel the status of Rishos Hayachid. Rabbi Yochanan, the mibayle choyo, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, wasn't sure what Allah would be with regards to choyo machzelis, pshita delay mevatel. Then certainly, as it relates to machzelis, certainly it's not going to be mevatel mechitzas. If Rabbi Yochanan wasn't sure by sand, where you would think that the sand for sure was mevatel the status of the Rishos Hayachid, then certainly he would be unsure as it relates to the machzelas, or fakert, as it relates to the machzelas, it'd be pasha to him, maybe, that it wouldn't have the ability to be mevatel the mechitzah. Amar Abaye, another halacha, bar b'shus rabbim, b'chasar v'chav rabbim, if somebody has a bar b'shus rabbim, it's 10 tefachim deep, and it's 4 tefachim wide, meaning it has the dimensions of a Rishos Hayachid. However, if it was filled with water, v'zarech l'toichan, and somebody throws something from Rishos Hayachid into it, chayiv is going to be chayiv. Paris, if it was filled with Paris, v'zarech l'toichan, you threw something into a pot, you're going to be potter. So what's the case? In a Rosh Hashanah, there's a pit that meets the dimensions of Rosh Hashanah. It's 10 tefachim deep, it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim. But it wasn't an empty pit. V'habar enoy reik.
Rather, there was something in it. What was there? Either there was mayim in there, or there were peiros in there. So Abaye said like this. If there's water inside, it retains its status of Rosh Hashayachin. If there's peiros inside, then it doesn't have a status of Rosh Hashayachin. My time, what's the reason? Mayim mevatli mechitzasa. Mayim doesn't have an ability to be mevatli mechitzas. So the fact that the Rosh Hashayachin has mayim in it, it doesn't make it lose its status of the Rosh Hashayachin. We look at it as a Rosh Hashayachin that has water in it. So if you threw something into it, at the end of the day, you threw it into Rosh Hashayachin. Peiros, however, mevatli mechitzas. If there's peiros inside, that is mevatel mechitzas. That seems to say the same thing. If somebody throws something from a yam into an asratia, so Rashi says asratia is the same as sratia, okay? Which the Gemara talked about in the beginning of the Masechta, which is the Rishus HaRabim. The yam has a din of a caramelist. We're going to see more about this. So the yam had a din of a caramelist. Asratia is a Rishus HaRabim. So the Bryce is just saying in fancier terms, that if somebody throws something from a caramelist to a Rosh Hashanah, or minasrat iliyam, or from a Rosh Hashanah to a caramelist, pate, the halachas is pate. Why? Because a caramelist is not considered a Rosh Hashanah. Midai Reis, Shimon says in Yesh, Mamak Mishazorak, Omer Kassar, Virachav Abokhan. If there's a place inside the yam, its own little corner, that meets the criteria of a Rosh Hashanah, it's 10 tfachim deep, and it's 4 tfachim wide, then that particular area gets a din of a Rosh Hashanah. So if somebody would throw from a Rosh Hashanah into there, now he would be chayev. What do you see from here? Tanya Nami Hachi, you see that if something has the criteria of a Rosh Hashayachid, even if it's filled with water, it still has a din of Rosh Hashayachid. Because Rav Shimon's case is where you have this crevice inside the yam that is considered a Rosh Hashayachid. Even though the whole yam is viewed as a caramelist, but this area is considered a Rosh Hashayachid and it has the din of a Rosh Hashayachid. Zok the Mishnah Vayter, and this next Mishnah that we're going to learn, we've seen already several times. The Gemara has brought it throughout the Masechet. If somebody throws something for Amos and Rosh Hashanah, and the thing didn't land on the ground, rather it landed on the side of the wall. If it landed on the side of the wall that was more than 10 tefachim off the ground, it's as if he threw it in the ear more than 10 tefachim off the ground, which is another way of saying Potter, because we know that Avir Rishus HaRabim is Kirshus HaRabim only up until 10 Tvachim. But anything above 10 Tvachim doesn't have a din anymore of a Rishus HaRabim. If, however, the thing landed on the wall less than 10 Tvachim, then it's Gezorik Ba'aretz. Again, it's as if you threw it on the land. Gezorik Ba'aretz. Arba Amis, if somebody throws something on the ground, 4 Amis, Chayiv, he's going to be Chayiv. So really, this Mishnah is Behemshuch. The name of this Mishnah is also Hazorik, like the name of the perek. But the perek began Hazorik Mirshus Hayachid, Rishus Harabim, Mirshus Harabim, Rishus Hayachid. Here we're discussing Hazorik, Arba Amis, Birishus Harabim. It's the same difference. They're all part of the Malach of Aitzah, says the Gemara. I don't understand this Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about when somebody threw something, Dalar Amis, Mirshus Harabim, but where did it land? It landed on the side of the wall. How could something land on the side of the wall? If you throw something against a wall, it's going to ricochet off. So it's not going to stick. So if it's not going to stick, there's no hanacha. Don't you need hanacha in order to be chayiv in Hilchah Shabbos? What happened to the hanacha? The holy nacha. Rabbi Yochanan de Velash Meinu Shonino. We're talking about a sticky fruit or a sticky cake. The point is something that would stick to the side of the wall. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Amar Rav Chiya, and this really traces itself back to Rav Chiya. Zarek lemay lemay asara. If somebody throws something in a Rosh Hashanah, it goes to a wall more than 10 tefachim off the ground. V'holcha, v'nacha b'chor kol shehu. And it landed inside a hole in the wall, literally. But the hole in this wall was very, very small. It was a kol shehu. It was a tiny little hole. Banu l'machleikis rameyev rabbanon. This is talking to machleikis rameyev rabbanon. The rameyev, t'amu chaykin lahashlim. Kun rameyev that says, chaykikin lahashlim. You can make believe a hole is sometimes bigger than it really is. Mechayev, you're going to be chayev. The rabbanon, according to the Rabbanan, Dami ein chaykin lahashlim, who don't know of chaykin lahashlim, loy mechayev, you're not going to be chayev. So what's this? What's the case? And what's this machloikis between Rameyu and the Rabbanan? The case is where somebody threw something in a Rosh Hashanah, less than Dalar Amis. So you were standing in a Rosh Hashanah, you threw something against the wall, and it landed in a hole in the wall. This hole was more than 10 tefachim off the top of the ground. However, the hole didn't meet the dimensions of a Rosh Hashanah. The dimensions of a Rosh Hashanah are mechitza instead of 10 tefachim, and it has to be dalad al dalad. So you had a wall that technically, had you carved out a nice piece, you maybe could have made this wall into a Rosh Hashanah, but you didn't do that. All you had was a hole that was l'may l'may asar etfach. Says the Gemara, you're going to be chayev according to Shitas Rameir. Who's this Reb Meir? Reb Meir Masechtas Erevin says that the halacha is that in order for a door or an entranceway to be chayiv in mezuzah, it has to meet certain technical criteria. So what happens if you don't meet the dimensions of the reshus that you need in order to be chayiv in mezuzah? So pashtus, you're not going to be chayiv in mezuzah. But Reb Meir says like this, if you have a hole inside a wall and there's space for you to be able to carve out more area, so that now you will meet the dimensions for chiyah mezuzah. Chaykekin lahashlim. We carve it out in our imagination to be mashlim the shir for you to be chayv mezuzah. So the Gemara says, according to Rameyah, where you chaykek lahashlim for chiyah mezuzah, you should be chaykek lahashlim for Shabbos as well. So even though this area is not a rishus hayachid, but if there's place for you to be chaykek and be mashlim the shir of a rishus hayachid, we are going to be mashlim. The whole concept of chaykek lahashlim is a tremendous chiddush, and really is a machlokes rishonim of exactly how far that goes. Meaning, it sounds a little bit like if you would have a hole that's literally a kosho. That was the lashon of Rav Chiya. Zarek lemaila me'asar v'holcha v'nachar v'chor kosho. Literally, one tiny little hole in a wall. Chayke lahashlam. Now the whole area becomes a rishos hayachid. So some rishonim say that at the very least, you would need this kosho to go the entire ten tefachim. It goes from the floor up until ten tefachim. So it is at least a ten tefachim hole. You just don't have the dalet al dalet. So we could be chaykek lahashlam to make up the other parts of the dimensions that are necessary. Not all the Rishonim agree with that, but the point is, there is a chiddush called chaykek lahashlam. The makar to chaykek lahashlam, as you would expect, is a mesechtes eruvin. It's discussed in the context, actually, of mezuzah, not of eruvin. And the point is that, as it relates to Hilchas Shabbos, if according to Reb Meir, that you could be chaykek lahashlam to create an area that's chayv and mezuzah, you could be chaykek lahashlam as well to create the status of Rishus Hayach. Tanya Nami Hachi, that this machloik is Reb Meir and the Chachamim of chaykek lahashlam is going to have implications in Hilchas Shabbos. And before Shabbos, Zorak, if somebody throws something more than 10 tefachim off the ground, and it landed in a hole in the wall, Rameh says, Chayv, come and poetry. What's the Tainami Hachi? Who's this Rameh that's Chayv? It's Rameh Lashitase, Mesech the Zerivin, that holds Chaykik in Lahashlim. Who the Chacham that say Potter? It's the Chacham Lashitaseh that holds. You don't say Chaykik in Lahashlim. So it's the Tainami Hachi that the Machloik is Rameh, the Chacham of Chaykik in Lahashlim, has implications as it relates to defining a Rishus Hayachid, has implications in the sugyas of Haitzah on Shabbos. Omer Rav Yehuda, Omer Rav. Another halacha. We're literally going me'inyan le'inyan ba'oise inyan. Just one major sugya after another major sugya. Said Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav, Tel ha'mislaket. Asar b'tei charba. If there's a mound inside a Rishus HaRabim, it's 10 tfachim tall, but it's not just a rock or a brick that's 10 tefachim. It's a mound of dirt. And there's a slope, meaning it starts off less than 10 tefachim, and like, think of the kevish or the mizbeach. It just works its way up until eventually it reaches a height of 10 tefachim. So you're going to assume, if it's dalet al dalet and it's 10 tefachim, so what's the halacha? For sure it should be considered a rishus hayachim. Rabbi Yehuda said, not always. Meaning, tel ha-mislakit asara b'toich arba. If it goes from 0 to 10 tefachim, within an area of 4 amos, meaning the kevesh is not more than 4 amos, so then the halach is, v'zark v'nachal gab of chayv. Somebody throws him, Rishus Rabbi, and lands on top, he's going to be chayv. Meaning then it's looked as a Rishus HaYachid, it's looked as an area unto itself. What's the point? But if the slope would be longer than 4 amos, like the kevesh and the mizbeach, that was extremely long, and it was only then that it got up to the height of 10 tefachim, so then the halacha would be, it would be potter. And the reason is because we look at it as being part of the Rishus HaRabim. This, that we have this idea that a rock or a mound or something that's 10 tefachim tall by dalet al dalet is considered Rishus HaYachin, even if it's smack in the middle of the Rishus HaRabim. But that's only if we look at it as being independent of the Rishus HaRabim. But to the extent that it gradually morphs from being a part of the Rishus HaRabim into this other Rishus, even though at its height, at its climax, it ends up being 10 tefachim, dalet al dalet, but if it got there gradually, so if somebody's walking in the Rishus HaRabim, it's not something that's out of his way. To the contrary, he may just walk up it. It's part of the Rishus HaRabim. Then it gets a din of Rishus HaTayin HaMihachi, a brayse that says, this mavish hashavah l'toichoy, v'nasin madroin l'Rishus HaRabim. So we're discussing a mavoy, again, of Mesechtes, Erev and fame. So if this mavoy had a slope, it had like a hill or a mound that you had to go down in order to get to the Rishus HaRabim, or if the mavoy was equal footing to the Rishus HaRabim, Vavanasa Madrin L'toichai. So the entrance of the Mavoi was on the same plane as the Rishus HaRabim. But to get into the Mavoi, where all the houses were and the Chatzeris were, again, you had to go down some sort of hill. So the Halacha is Eni Tzarech Loi Lechi V'loi Kara. So the context over here is the Halacha of Shetufei Mavoi. We don't have to get into this, but we know that even though Midei Raisa, you're only not allowed to carry Mishus L'shus, but Midei Rabbani, you can't even carry from one Rishus HaYachad to another Rishus HaYachad. You can't carry from one Chatzah to another Chatzah, even if all the Chatzeris have a din of Rishus HaYachad. So what do you want to do if you want to carry from the Rishus HaYachad to Rishus HaYachad? You make an Erev. If it's houses that are coming together, it's known as an Eruv Chatzeris. If it's Chatzeris that are coming together, it's known as Shetufim Avais. But in addition to the Erev, it also had to be a Simen, that this is not a regular Rishus HaRabim, because all these Chatzeris and Avais looked a little bit like a Rishus HaRabim. So what was the Simen they would make? So this is the first Mishnah Mesechtes Erevin. Either a Keri, a Lechi, or a Kaira. So they would make something over there as a Simen. Says this Braisa, that if the Mavoi is not on the same plane as the Rishus HaRabim, then you don't have to make a simen. Because the fact that it's on a diagonal, that in and of itself serves as a sign that it's not part of the Rishus HaRabim. It's not part of Rishus HaRabim. You don't need any lechis. You don't need any kares. Added, and this is what we need. Tell that if you would have a tail that is 10 tefachim, and the tenth, it goes to a point of 10 tefachim within Dalet Amos, v'zorik v'nachal gav of chayiv, and somebody would throw something on top of it, he would be chayiv. Now this halacha of Rabbi Chaim Inim Gamliel is literally the halacha of Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav. This is the Tanya Nami Hochi. But what's the Hemshech? What does that have to do with the Mavi? Because as it relates to the Mavi, it's the same thing. The only time this slope is considered a hecker, only time it wouldn't need a lechi or a kaira, because it looks as if it's not part of the Rishus HaRabim, that's only if it's a steep slope. How steep does it have to be? So 10 tefachim within Dalet Amos. That has enough gemina and hilchas erivin as it relates to shetufa mavayis. Whether you need the hecker, you don't need the hecker. It also has a ramification as it relates to the laws of vayitzah. Bottom line is, you see this concept that whenever you talk about a mound, an entity within another entity, you want to know if it's considered part. If it's not considered part, so we keep on working with the dimensions of Rosh Hashanah. If it's 10 tefachim, like dalit on dalit, so then. But it's not so simple. It's only if it reaches that height within a shorter time frame, meaning within a dalit area. If, however, it's a longer slope, then it would be viewed as being part of the Rishus HaRabim. Another major halacha. If somebody throws something within Dalet Amos and Rishus HaRabim, so you threw it within Dalet Amos, we'll see what this means in the Gemara, and then it rolled outside of the Dalet Amos, Potter. If you throw something outside of the Dalet Amos, and it rolls into the Dalet Amos, Chayiv, you're going to be chayv. So again, if you throw something Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim, you're going to be chayv. So what happens if it went within Dalet Amos and then it rolled outside of Dalet Amos? Potter. If it went outside the Dalet Amos and it rolled inside the Dalet Amos, you're going to be chayv. So this is a little bit confusing. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Let's talk about the last case, the seif of the Mishnah. That's what the Gemara is going to focus on. You threw something outside of Dalet Amos and it came back in to the Dalet Amos, you're going to be chayv. Now obviously we're not talking about where it landed outside of the Dalet Amos. Because then it's pashut. If it rolls back in, you're going to be chayiv. Why would you think you shouldn't be chayiv? I threw it. Tomorrow I brought it back inside the Dalet Amos. That's the reason you should be potter. Elamai, what happened is you threw it, and then the wind took it back, and it blew it within Dalet Amos. So it started off chutzal Dalet Amos, but then it was neskalgal, presumably in the wind, back into the Dalet Amos. You can tell me you're chayiv, but why are you chayiv, right to Gemara? There was never a hanocha. It's very nice that it was outside of Dalet Amos, but until there's a hanocha, you're not chayiv. It's nothing. So for the Gemara, what happened to hanocha? Rabbi Yochanan, said, you're right, you have to make an akimta. You have to say there was some sort of hanocha. Rashi adds, and this is going to be important to understand the next Gemara, that it doesn't mean that it had to physically have landed on something, but even if it froze, meaning it stopped mid-air, that would be enough for it to be considered a hanocha, so that if later it comes back in, the halach is, you'll be chayiv. Rashi, dibra maskul shenocha gabi mashu. She'omad ktsas. It stopped for a moment. Va'achakach nisgalgal. Says Rashi, v'hu adinam ochsesoy ha'ruach ba'aver. The same would be true if the wind held it, and it literally froze it for a moment, and then afterwards it came in, and here's the punchline, this is only true if it'd be within 3 tefachim. So if it's within 3 tefachim, within the shear of lavud, so then we could say that even if it froze, that's considered as if it's there. So then the halach is, if it comes back in, you're going to be chai. If somebody throws something outside of Dalet Amos, and then the wind brought it back in, you're going to be pot. But But if the wind got it for a moment and was within three tefachim, even if it ended up coming back in, so that's essentially what Rabbi Yochanan said. Amar Rava, Rava said, Toich gimel the Rabbanon, Tzarech hanoch al gabe mashu. According to the Rabbanon, which Rabbanon? The Rabbanon of the first Mishnah Perek HaZayrek, the Rabbanon who argued with Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbanon who don't hold of Kluto Kemisho Huncha Danya. So what does Rava say? That according to the Rabbanon, Toich Gimel would need Hanocha Al Gabe Mashu. So again, we had a machloikis right in the beginning of the Perek between Rabbi Akiva and the Chacham. If somebody throws something from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaYochid, but it goes Derech Rishus HaRabe. So somebody threw something from one Rishus HaYachid to another Rishus HaYachid, but there was a Rishus HaRabim in between. So you're going to be chayv, you're not going to be chayv. It never landed in the Rishus HaRabim. It started off in the Rishus HaYachid, it ended off in the Rishus HaYachid, but it went through the airspace of the Rishus HaRabim. Akiva said you're going to be chayv. The Chomim said you're going to be potter. The Gemara had a bunch of ways to understand this machloikis, different tzadim four on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph. But one thing seemed clear, that the primary mahalach in the machlokes is that Rabbi Akiva holds kluta kemisho huncha damya. The Rabbanon don't hold of kluta kemisho huncha damya. According to Rabbi Akiva, when something is in the ear space of an area, it's as if it's munach on the ground. According to Rabbi Akiva, even though it started off in Rosh Hashanah, it ended off in Rosh Hashanah, but if it went derech Rosh Hashanah, when it was in the ear space of the Rosh Hashanah, it was considered munach in the Rosh Hashanah. According to the Chacham, you don't say kluta. So if you don't say kluta, it never landed in the Rosh Hashanah. It never landed in the Rosh Hashanah. So that kir was in the Rosh Hashanah, and anach in the Rosh Hashanah, you'd be chay. What would be if, according to the Chachamim, who don't hold the Kluta, it went from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid, Derech Rishus Rabim, but it was within Gimel Tvachim. What would the halacha be over there? So if you remember, on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara brought a Shita, Rav Chilkiya Bar Tuvi, who said, Toich Shloisha Divrei HaKol Chayiv. If it's within three Tvachim, everyone is going to hold your Chayiv. And the reason is because within three Tvachim, Lavud, the Gemara said, Halacha L'moisha Misinai, that there's something called Lavud. So if it's within three Tvachim, for sure you're going to be Chayiv. Rabbi Chilki Bar Tuvi continued. He said, "If it's more than 10 tefachim, everyone's going to hold. You're going to be potter." The whole machlokes was within 3 and 10 tefachim. But the point of Rabbi Chilki Bar Tuvi said that even though the Rabbanon don't hold of kluta, but the Rabbanon do hold of lavud. So if this story took place, shusayochet to shusayochet derech shusarabim, but it was within 3 tefachim from the ground, being that there's something called kluta kemisho unchadam, he said everybody's going to hold that you're going to be chayv. That's what Rava is coming to argue with that. Amar Rava, Toich Gimel the Rabbanon, Tzarech Hanoch Al Gabi Mashu. That even if it's within three tefachim from the ground, meaning there's something called Lavud. And Rabbi Chilki Bar Tuvi said on Daf Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph that Toich Gimel, there's no machloikis. Kuli Amalei Pligi Dechayev. Rava said, I disagree. According to Rabbanon, Tzarech Hanoch Al Gabi Mashu. So if you go Mishos Hayochel, Mishos Hayochel, Derech Shos Rabbin, Toich Gimel, Talach is going to be part. But there's another Nafgemina Rashi says between the machloikis Rabbi Chilki Bar Tuvi and Rava, or in other words, there's another nafkamina that Rava is saying, and that is, if somebody violates one of the malachis on Shabbos b'shoigig, he has to bring a karban chatas. But the only time you bring a karban chatas is if you were a shoigig from beginning to end. So you had to be a shoigig through and through. You started off a shoigig in the beginning of the malacha, you were shoigig at the end of the malacha. What happens if while you did the malacha, while you're writing, before you write the second ois, you remember, oops, it's Shabbos, or I'm not allowed to write on Shabbos? So if that happens, Yediya, you're not going to be chayiv chatas anymore. Once I finish the malach, if I chab, then it's a dollar late, then a day short. Then, of course, at that point, Allah is, I'm going to be chayiv chatas. So what happens if somebody picks something up in a Rishos HaRabim, he throws a dollar amas, it's about to land, didn't land yet, it's within three tefachim now, and then you remember, are you going to be chayiv chatas, you're not going to be chayiv chatas. If you say that it's according to Rabbi Akiva, Kluta Kimisho Hun Chadami, of course you're going to be chayiv chatas, because as soon as it was in the airspace, you're done. But what about according to Chaman, don't have Kluta? So if you say Lavud, then once it's within three tefachim, it's Kemunach Dami. So if you remembered, at that point, you're going to be chayiv. What do you mean? There was no hanach. There was hanach. Because once it was in the ear space of lover, at that point, it's considered hanach. If, however, Rav is right that you don't say lover according to the Chachamim, even toich gimel tzarech hanach al gabi mashu. So if that's the case, you're not going to be chayiv chatas because you remember before the malacha was done. Zok de Gemara. So Rav said this comment: toich gimel the rabbanon tzarech hanach al gabi mashu. In other words, you don't say lover. Not like Rav Chilki Bar Tuvi said on Dav Tzadik Zayin Amud Aleph. Yosem Mirei Mar Vekamal Allah. So Rabbi isn't this the Mishnah? What did the Mishnah say? Rabbi Yochanan said, "Vushanach al gabi mashu." Didn't Rabbi Yochanan already say that it has to be noch al gabi mashu? The Mishnah was talking about a case where somebody threw something outside of Dalat Amos, And then it came back in, and we said the halacha is that you're going to be chayiv. Why are you going to be chayiv? There was never a hanacha outside of Dalai Lamas. So we said, no, it's talking about where it was nach al gabi mashu, that something must have happened. Because if something didn't happen, then at that point, you're not going to be chayiv. Says the Gemara. So l'chura, you see from there that Rabbi Yochanan said that it has to be nach. But if it wasn't nach, even if it was within Gimel Tvachim, it sounds like you wouldn't say Lavan. So meaning, why did Rabbi Yochanan have to make the Ikinta and say that it was Nach? Why couldn't he just say more Pashit? It went to it was within Gimel Tvachim. Once it was within Gimel Tvachim, meaning you threw it to outside of Dalamas, it was within Gimel Tvachim, and now it came back in. So what do you see from there? That he holds that you don't say Lavan. So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan said it already. So the Gemara sketch, what do I have to say it for? Rabbi Yochanan already said it. Amaleis, he told Miskal Gukamin. Could be that case a little bit different. Because Miskal Gulain Seifel Anoch. What happened in that case? It was clearly a windy day. The windshield was a factor, right? It's obvious. The wind's blowing all over the place. So over there, you threw it out, it came back in. So maybe over there, there's no Allah of Lavan. Aval Hai, Rabbi was saying a bigger chiddush. Kim in the Seifel Anoch. In my case, where it was Seifel Anoch, maybe Avag after Loinach command the Nacht on it. Maybe over here, even if it didn't land, it should be considered as if it landed Kamash Malon. Meaning in a case where I throw something and it's for sure going to land, that's within the airspace of Lavan, so maybe there, even before it physically lands, it's considered Nach. That's the Chiddush that you don't see in Rabbi Yochanan. And that's what Rabbi wanted to say, that even if it's literally about to land, it's not, the wind is not a factor, or it's not even traveling Mirshus HaYachad or Shus HaYachad Erech Shus HaRabim. This is Negeya, the second nafkamina of Rava's halacha. That I threw something down and I'm a special sarabim. It's about to land. It's within three tvachim. There's no wind. It's a perfect day. And then I remember, oops, it's Shabbos. So am I chayiv chatas or not chayiv chatas? If you say lavud, then I'm going to be chayiv chatas. If you don't say lavud, I'm not going to be chayiv chatas. So that's where it's negeya. The Rava wanted to say that you never say lavud. It always has to be nach al gabi mashu. Rabbi Yochanan didn't say that because Rabbi Yochanan was talking about where it's moving around. Miskalgal ka'amrit. Miskalgal ain't soifel anuach. But this is soifel anuach. So maybe over here it's different. That's Rava's chiddush. That even though it's soifel anuach, it's not going to be different. Another Mishnah. Zayuk b'yam. If somebody throws something in the yam, so he's at sea. Arba amos, four amos on Shabbos, pati is going to be pati. Why? Because the yam has a din of a caramelist. So even though you're not allowed to do it, pati means pati rabbal aser, it's aser mid rabbanon, but you're not going to violate it, some of the rest. Im ha yurakak mayim. What if there was a body of water? Rishus Harabim Aleches Bay. So there's a body of water within a Rishus Harabim. So the Rishus Harabim goes through it. So then, even though it's a body of water, it doesn't have a din of a yam, meaning it doesn't get its own status of a caramelist. It's considered part of the Rishus Harabim. So if somebody would throw Dalai Lama, so it would be Rekak Mayim. Meaning that every body of water that goes through a Rishus HaRabim has a din of a Rishus HaRabim? No. It has to be Pachas Me'asar Tfachim. It has to be less than 10 Tfachim deep. But if it's already 10 Tfachim deep, then it's considered a Rishus for itself. Then the Mishnah mysteriously says the same thing again. Rekak Mayim, Rishus HaMayim HaLeches, Rishus HaRabim HaLeches Boy, HaZorik B'toichoy, Dalin Hamas, Chayef. So the Mishnah literally repeated itself from one second to the next, right? The Gemara. So one of the Rabbanon asked Rava, I understand maybe why the Mishnah wanted to repeat itself. Now what's the chiddush of the Mishnah, if you want to put it in more technical terms? The Mishnah is saying that a rekak mind that goes through a Rishus HaRabim is considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. So you'll tell me, what are the tzadim? I mean, it's part of the Rishus HaRabim. Chever go through it sometimes. But in halacha terms, even though people sometimes would walk through it, but it's only al yedei atchak. It's not l'chatchila for sure. And even then, it's a struggle to get through it. So you're essentially telling me that hiluch al yedei atchak, shmo hiluch, it's still considered part of Rishus Rav. So the Gemara says like this, that this one of the Rabbanon told Rav, I understand why the Mishnah repeated itself. The Mishnah wanted to actually tell me something. Bishlami hiluch hiluch trei zimni. Mishnah wanted to tell me twice that a place that you can walk through in a Rishus Rav, even though it's al yedei atchak, it's considered part of Rishus Rav. And the reason Mishnah told me twice was, it's hakam ashmon, to teach me, number one, the halacha, hiluch al yedei atchak, shmei hiluch, and number two, an inference, and that is tashmish al yedei atchak, lo yishmei tashmish. If there's an area inside a Rishus HaRabim that people don't walk through, but they use sometimes, it's like you have a pit, or you have a mound, the Gemara talked about this in the beginning of the Masechta, where people use it al yedei atchak, is that considered part of the Rishus HaRabim? So there it's not. Meaning, a place that people physically walk, that part of the Rishus HaRabim, even if they only walk al yedei atchak, is considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. But a place in the Rishus HaRabim that people don't walk on, but people are mishtamish with, if it's al yedei atchak, lo yishmei tashmish. Where do you see that? Twice the Mishnah told me, hiluch al yedei atchak, shmei hiluch. Once to tell me, hiluch al yedei atchak, shmei hiluch, that lacha that it told us twice. And once to tell me that only hiluch, emphasis on hiluch, only hiluch al yedei atchak, shmei hiluch,
But Tashmish Layde Atrak, Loy Shmei Tashmish. I understand, said this one of the Rabbanim Tarava, why the Mishnah chazed it. But El Rekak Rekak Shwe Zimni. But his kasha was, why did we pick the same case? Couldn't we pick a different case? Why are we talking about this, a body of water twice? Tell me, Hiluch Ayyadei Atchak in a different instance, or maybe just tell me Tashmish Ayyadei Atchak, Loichmei Tashmish. I find it interesting that the Mishnah would literally repeat the same words twice. That the Rabbah, I understand why you want to mention the halacha twice, but the same case, Rekak, Rekak, Trey Zimni. So the Gemara says, Rabbah told him, I'll tell you why. Chadu Meisacham and Chadu Meisak Shamim. Because there's actually a Chiddish in the case, and that is, you could have argued that maybe this halacha and the Mishnah is only true during the summer months, and you could have argued that maybe it's only true during the winter. It's Rechidita, Nuchadi, had we only had one Havimina, would have told Hadimid Meisacham. Maybe only during the summer this body of water is considered part of the Rishus Rabban David, the Inchi, the Maskilakri, Nafshayu, because people would walk through the water sometimes to cool off. But during the winter, you don't want to cool off. So therefore, people didn't walk through it. So maybe during the winter, it's not considered part of Rishus Rabban. Had we only known that it's considered part of Rishus Rabban during the winter, it's because the midfin, it could be that people are dirty during the winter anyways. So even though this water was probably dirty and they're going to get wet, but they're anyways dirty and wet. So it makes no difference. But during the summer, where then they look nice and fine, so maybe like, maybe it's not considered part of Rishus Rabban. That was the Chiddush. Abaya said a different reason. That the reason the Mishnah repeated it twice was Itzruch. So I would have thought, I would have thought maybe the only time it's considered part of Rishus Rabban is if it's not Dalet Amos. It's not so long. If it's Dalet Amos, no, you're going to go through a body of water if it's a small body of water. But if it's such a long body of water, Kufi Machfile, then you're probably going to go around it. Rav Ashi said a little differently. It's Chosogat Adichabin, I would have thought, Hanumil Hechad Avidal. Not Dalet Amis, but Dalet Fachim. Maybe only if it's so small that it's Dalet Fachim, then it's considered part of the Rosh Hashanah. You know why? Because meaning if it's at least Dalet Fachim, but if it's less than Dalet Fachim, Mifsi Pasle, maybe people walk over it. So if people walk over it, then maybe it's not considered part of the Rishus Rabban. Meaning if it's very big, maybe it's not part of the Rishus Rabban because then no one's going to go through it. You're going to walk around it. And if it's very small, maybe it's also not part of the Rishus Rabban because you're going to walk over it. Oz Rav Ashi Latamei, Rav Ashi, who was the one that said that something that people walk over, that's where the question is it considered part of Rishus Rabban? This Rav Ashi Lishitasa, he talked about this once. Dumb Rav Ashi, Hamay in the Zarek Benachagud did the Gamlo. Somebody throws something and it lands on the side of a bridge. Mechayev, he's chayev. And the reason is, Sharei HaRabban Baikumbay, because people walk through it. And being that people walk through it, it's considered part of the Rishus Rabban. What's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that even though some people walk over it, it doesn't matter. Because being that there are a lot of people that would walk through this area, meaning this was an area in the Rishus Rabban that some people would walk over, but many people would walk through. And Rav Ashi Paskin, that it's considered part of Rishus Rabban. That's Rav Ashi Lushitasa. Rav Ashi just said that if it's four tfachim, or if it's less than four tvachim, you could have argued that being that some people walk over it, maybe it shouldn't be considered part of the Rishus Rabban. That was his chiddush, that it would be considered part of the Rishus Rabban. Just a little bit more. Hazayuk min hayam liyabasha. If somebody throws something from the yam to the yabasha, so he threw something from sea onto dry land, miyabasha liyam, or from dry land onto sea, min hayam lesfina, he threw something from the yam onto a boat, or min hasfina liyam, or from the sfina to the yam, min hasfina lechavito, from one boat to another boat, pater, the halacha is going to be pater. The reason is because the boat has a din of Rishus Hayachid, presumably, and the yam has a din of a carmelis. So if you throw from a carmelis to a Rishus Hayachid, you didn't violate anything midairais. It's finished cruise. But what if you have a bunch of boats that are tied to each other? You let it carry from one to another. Main cruise, if they're not tied to each other, even if they're encircled, you not carry from one to the other. We're going to see more about that. That will be the topic of tomorrow's daf. But for now, the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is discussing somebody's on a boat and it's Shabbos. So the question is, if you want to get something from the water, you're thirsty, you need water, or you want to dump something into the sea, so you have a little bit of an issue, because the Sfina is presumably a Rishus Hayachid, and the boat is a carnalist. So you're not allowed to carry from a boat to a Sfina, to a yam, because Rishus Hayachid to a carnalist is something that's awesome in the Rabban. So what are you supposed to do? I mean, is there a workaround? The Mishnah says it's a problem. You're potter. Potter means it's awesome in the Rabban. So what, practically speaking, can you do? Itmar, Sfina. Rav Huna said, Moitzin heimen a ziz kolshu umemali. What you should do is, halacha l'maisa, you should take a ziz, make like a lechi, take a little something, put it outside of the boat to make a simin that what you're doing now is questionable as it relates to Shabbos, and then you can take water, no worries. Rav Chisda, Rav Huna Amri, Rav Chisda and Rav Huna's son Rabba said differently, oisem makam arba, you should make mechitzas, that cord off an area that's dalet al dalet, umamale, and then you should take. In other words, do it two
Mahalchim amongst them, Amiram, how to go about this. Now, any one of these Mahalchim are a shtickle b'di'evid, because l'chatchila, this is an issue. You can't carry from a Rishus HaYachid to a Carmelis. So you can't carry from a boat to the sea, or from the sea to the boat. It's certainly a problem. But b'di'evid, we have to figure something out. If someone's stuck at Shabbos, at sea, he needs something. So there were two approaches. One approach was, just make a little simon and take. The other one was, make mechitzois, cord off an area that's dalad al dalad. So the Gemara says, Rafuna, but my amen is this, called Shum and Mali. Rafuna said, what you should do is you should make a ziz, and then take whatever you want, because he holds Carmelis Ma'arim Ashchina. Then when you measure a Carmelis, you measure it from the ground. Now, over here, the ground is way, way, way beneath where the boat is, right? You're at sea. So the ground is several amos beneath the top of the sea level. If that's the case, really, the water that you're taking is not a Carmelis. And the reason is because just like a Rishus HaRabim only goes up to 10 Tfachim, a Carmelis also only goes up to 10 Tfachim. So really the water that you're taking is nothing. V'avir makom p'toru. It's a makom p'tor. U'bedinu this is not below the bayin. If that's the case, you shouldn't even need a ziz. Elok yechid l'avalei akeri. Chama want you to have a hacker. So you should have a hacker. They said you should go ahead and make a ziz. But really it's not something you would have to do. So the reason is you don't need mechitzes. This is nothing. You're taking from a makom p'tor. Wait a minute. I thought the yam is a Carmelis. Yeah, the yam is a Carmelis. But only up until 10 Tfachim, like every Carmelis is. This is already above that area. So if it's above that area, this area is not a Carmelis. So if it's not a Carmelis, it's just a Hecker Ba'almo. But really, it's not an Israel. You know, they all, you have to make real mechitzes, because they all Carmelis misfas Maya Mashchina. When you measure the Yam, that's a Carmelis, you measure it from the top of the, oh, if that's the case, Maya Aris Michto. So this is a real Carmelis. So if you wouldn't make real mechitzes, you'd be carrying from a Carmelis to Rishus HaYachid. Meaning, do we have to assume that every single time you're on a boat, the boat is always going to be at least 10 tfachim above the ground? What if it's within 10 tfachim? That's very dangerous now. Because if it's within 10 tfachim, that area is not a makom p'tur anymore. So if that area is not a makom p'tur, that area is a Carmelis, you're going to have a problem. So bishlami koin to Rav Chizur Rav Ravuna, you made mechitzes, so you have nothing to worry about. Doesn't matter what the scenario is, you always have mechitzes, so you could always take water into the boat. But according to Ravuna, Ravuna says, no, the reason, really you're not making mechitzes. Just make a little hacker. What do you mean? You're carrying from a Carmelis to Rishus HaYachid. You're not carrying from a Carmelis to Rishus HaYachid because you're in the Machim Petur. You're in the airspace that's above 10 Tfachim. What if you're not in the airspace that's above 10 Tfachim? Amalesi told him, Gamrina, we have a Kabbalah, ain't Sfina Malachas Bachas Me'asara. A Sfina can't go in an area that's less than 10 Tfachim deep. There always has to be at least 10 Tfachim. Rashi says Sfina usually, the connotation is a larger boat. So a larger boat needs at least 10 tfachim of water. What about the front? The nose of the boat sometimes goes a little bit lower. So what happens if you're standing by the nose of the boat and you're taking the water? So the Gemara says, Amrav Safra, Geshushi Azli Kamal. There were people that would go, and if the water ever got too shallow, I mean, 10 tfachim is very shallow. So if they ever got concerned that it might be too shallow, there were chevra there to make sure that, the point is, the boat, even the nose of the boat, never went in an area that's so shallow. And if that's the case, you have nothing to worry about. One more Gemara. Rav Nachman bar Yisrael, Rav Chia bar Abba, Rav Chizul, Rav Rav Huna, Damri, Oysa, Mokam, Rabba, Oma, Male, Shoyf, Chindi, Dei, Hei, Chishadi, Lohu, Kointa, Rav Chiz, Rav Rav Huna, they said you're supposed to take an area of Dalar, Dalar, meaning it's not a Hefkevel, you can't just do whatever you want with the Yam. You have to have an area that you section off. So the question was, what do you do in the reverse? Shoyfchin, someone has to go to the bathroom. You have dirty water that you need to discard of. What are you supposed to do then? So you're not maybe put in the same mechitza. Mi'isile, it's disgusting. I mean, you have this one area. Think of a still body of water. So you're taking water from there, and now you're going to go and put things that are disgusting over there. It's not going to be okay. So Bishleim, according to Ravuna, the whole yam is fair game, so it's not a problem. But according to Rav Chizna, Rav Barafuna, it has to be a very specific area. If it has to be a very specific area, so what, the same area that you're going to take from, you're going to dump back into? You're taking clean water, you're dumping dirty water. You're going to create a disgusting situation. So the Gemara says there is another way to do this. The shadilu hadafna desfino. There's a difference between taking water in and taking water out. Taking water in is an issue, but removing things, that's not so hard. What you could do is you could put the water that you want to pour out, this dirty water, on the doifen, the wall of the boat, and let it roll off. That's not a problem. Even though you're going from Rishus HaYachid to Carmelis. But if you let it just happen on its own, like a grumma, you put it on the wall, and then it rolls off, that's fine. That's koichai. It's coming from your, you set this in motion. Shouldn't that be a problem? So the Gemara says, a chiddush, koichai be karmelis, like Gazru. The Chachamim were never geyser koichai by karmelis, even though koichai in every area of halacha matters. But as it relates to karmelis, it doesn't. Not how do you know that koichai doesn't matter when it comes to a karmelis? Time you learn to the Brisa, Sfina, Eim, Taltan, Lemi, Toichai, Yam, Lemi, Yam, Le, Toichai. You're not allowed to carry from a boat to the Yam, to the Yam, to the boat. Rav Yehuda says, Amukah Asara, if the boat was 10 tfachim deep, Ve'ingavaya Asara, and it wasn't 10 tfachim tall, Metaltan, you're allowed to carry from it to the yam, but not from the yam into it. So what we need is one thing. Rabbi Yehuda is making a chilek between carrying from the yam onto the boat or from the boat onto the yam. I understand what the difference is. From the yam, you're not allowed to carry into it to come in mir karmelus or shesayochid, because you're carrying from a karmelus or shesayochid. So you shouldn't be able to carry from the boat into it because it's mir shesayochid or karmelus. El alav. What's the difference? Rabbi Yehuda says that you can. There's a way to carry from the boat into the yam, but not from the yam to the boat. You know what the difference must be? El alav achuda. The way you can carry from the boat onto the karmelus is by putting it on the boat itself and let it roll off. That's something you can do when you're discarding it, but that's not an option if you're bringing it inside. So there's no such way to do it. There you have no choice but to take it. So you see, for me, the chomer would never go on karmelus. In other words, we're discussing someone that's stuck at sea. He's in a boat. It's Shabbos. The boat is a Rishos Hayachid. The sea is a karmelis. He needs to take water from the sea just to make it through Shabbos. He also needs to discard certain things that are on the boat, and he has to get rid of it. So what is he supposed to do? So as it relates to discarding it, let's work backwards. That's easy. That's not a big deal. Because that way you could always do is you could take the thing that you want to discard, put it on the wall of the boat, let it roll off, so you have nothing to worry about. As it relates to taking from the sea into the boat, that's a little trickier. And there was a machlokes ha-meiram, what the appropriate way to do this is. One mahalach was, have a ziz, some sort of simen, and then just take whatever you want. The other approach was, no, you need to make mechitzos. You section off an area that's dalet adalet, and then you can take the water. What are they arguing about? These are not just two nice approaches. They're actually arguing about something fundamental. What they're arguing about is that when we measure a karmelis that is a body of water, do we measure it from the ground that's underwater, or do we measure it from the top of the water? Because a karmelis is like a rishus harabim in that it only maintains its status up until 10 tefachim. It doesn't have its status anymore. So if we measure from the bottom, then the top of the water is going to be already a makom p'tor. So then you don't need mechitzas. All you need is a hacker. So you have a little ziz, that's your hacker. If, however, you measure from the top, then it's a real karmelis. A real karmelis, you need real mechitzas. That's why those amiram held. What you need to do is make real mechitzas.